You are locked on Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. I am Daniel Rue, your host, and so happy to bring you your team every day. And this game, the Warriors win over the Denver Nuggets, was a great example of what separates out a pretty good team from a great team, at least in terms of regular season success. And you can see that difference in terms of how the Mavericks had to approach the game on Wednesday against the Warriors at Oracle versus how the Warriors were able to handle Thursday's game in Denver. So they had a rough travel day. They had to leave from Oracle, go straight to Denver, lose time, and go up in the high altitude. And so it was one of those games that in many other circumstances would be a schedule loss. And the Warriors are just too good for that. The Nuggets also made some mistakes, some of which you could characterize as unusual, but still young guy mistakes. And that is something Denver most certainly has their fair share of. But the Warriors deserve a lot of credit for fighting through it. And a lot of guys had really strong games, really from top to bottom. But where I feel like the story of this contest really needs to start is with JaVale McGee. And so Zaza Pachulia picked up two early fouls. Less than 5 minutes into the game, he had to come out. The second one was a little bit dubious, and Coach Kerr had, a kind of a complicated decision because David West has settled in pretty well to that kind of second unit role as a center, and they've tried Kevon Looney, and it was JaVale McGee's turn in his former arena. He's played for a few teams, but he did play for the Nuggets, including in that series against the Warriors in 2013, and he played great. Part of it is that McGee's game is more conducive to playing with better surrounding talent, particularly from a passing perspective. But another part of it is that he brings some elements that the other Warriors bigs do not have. I was thinking of a sequence in the third quarter where he caught a lob from Draymond Green, really nice pass, and then came down and got a nice block that actually stayed in play. I believe it was on Juancho Hernangómez, might have been on one of their other bigs. And that whole sequence, the alley-oop dunk and the block like that is something that only JaVale McGee can do. And it was exciting in a way to see the Warriors starters playing with a guy who they knew they could throw the ball to. I commented in my write-up of The Athletic, it was a point that Ethan Sherwood Strauss and Nate Duncan made on a podcast they did together about how Zaza Pachulia's lack of kind of vertical ability narrows the windows where the Warriors can pass him the ball. And, that was largely true of Andrew Bogut as well. He wasn't the greatest leaper, but he was better than Pachulia in that way. But McGee opens up a universe that none of the other really players at the big man positions can do. And at moments it felt like Curry and Durant and Draymond Green were just kind of seeing how far they could push it. Klay Thompson has experience with that because he's had some moments playing with JaVale, but the other guys haven't had as much in the regular season. They dabbled with it in the preseason and they really did seem to relish that. And so in the first quarter, which was the most notable stretch, McGee not only was 2 for 2 from the field, but made his 2 free throws, which is important, and played solid defense. And so he had 6 points. That's not as important to me, but he was also plus 10 and playing largely against some of Denver's best players. He didn't at the end of that stretch, but he definitely did at the beginning. And it confirmed an element that I had suspected, but you couldn't know until you tested it, which is that McGee would work in that circumstance. It's not going to be true against every opponent. It's certainly not going to be true all the time. I mean, you could think about various players that McGee will have trouble with. And one of them was actually in this game. Yusuf Nurkic is just so strong that McGee has a lot of length. He has a big wingspan, but he doesn't have that kind of core, just sturdiness, which you need against a player like Nurkic. But at the same point, McGee was hustling down the floor. He was playing really hard, and that can create opportunities all its own. And there were a couple even plays where McGee's hustle got the Warriors points or got them opportunities, even if it wasn't really the traditional way. So there was one where Curry basically just threw the ball to McGee and he drew a foul. It was a non-shooting foul because it wasn't even completely clear how he was going to catch the ball, but his hustle completely created that, drew a foul, kind of kept the Warriors moving towards the bonus. And that is something that the team needs. I did a podcast with Sam Vecenie for Real Jam Radio that came out this week talking about how I have this belief that even in the NBA, a player outside of the one, because they have different rules, that can run the floor and so basically has good athleticism and plays hard, can, especially relative to their opponent, their counterpart guarding them, can make it to can get a team, you know, let's say between 6 and 10 points a game, that might be a little too rosy, but McGee showed how that's true because he would just beat Nurkic, he would beat Jokic down the floor and get some baskets, get some fouls, and, you know, some of that is spillover. It's not just like you're going to get 3 or 4 dunks or something crazy like that, but you can produce points in other ways, and McGee did a really nice job, and it'll be fun to see how that lesson manifests itself moving forward. Still want to see Kevon Looney get some chances there, but McGee showed, at least in a one-game sample size, that he can really do it. So, well, I focused on McGee because that was the more surprising element. The other thing you have to talk about is Steph Curry was absolutely ridiculous in this game. He was, you can throw out the stats all you want. He was 10 of 17 from the field, 7 to 13 3, 6 of 6 from the line, 33 points, 7 assists, plus 27. But that doesn't do it justice. And this is an audio podcast, but, you know, for those of you who are listening to this who didn't watch the game, he had a couple of those plays where Curry makes it, and it feels kind of routine because he does them so often, but kind of rewatching the game as I did, that's part of the reason this podcast is coming out so late. You do gain a little bit of an appreciation for just how crazy it is. He had two plays late in the third that just reflected what he can do in a way. So the first one was he went on Gary Harris. He went backwards between the legs and then shot, and as he was shooting, but really more at the end of the shooting motion, he got pushed by Nikola Jokic, and so it became basically out of thin air, became an and-one 4-point play, and just an incredible sequence that nobody else in the league can do. Damian Lillard's a spectacular player. Lillard has a lot of the range that Curry has, but just the combination of moves and everything else. And then the other one was, I called it the baptism of Jamal Murray in the Athletic write-up that I did on this game. And Curry created a broken play in a way because he sort of dribbled the ball off his own foot. Jamal Murray didn't exactly react to it super well. And Curry, again, created a 3-pointer out of thin air. And just made the shot, made the basket, and that really helped seal the game in the third quarter, though some of the starters came back in to finish the game, but to seal it, and part of that was probably due to Durant, which I'm going to talk about in a second. But Curry was spectacular, and another notable thing that happened in this game, and I'm guessing it was due to the ankle injury that Steph suffered in the third quarter of the Mavericks game, is that for the most part, Klay Thompson guarded the more dangerous of Denver's guards, which is more something the Warriors did under Mark Jackson, and was, you could call it a necessity today, just because you wanted to preserve Steph, and he looked pretty good out there, not perfect, but pretty good out there, and made a ton of shots, of course. And so the Nuggets are a team that makes sense against, because somebody like Gary Harris, talented guy, can hit some shots, can drive the lane, but he's not going to punish a smaller player in that way. And so they often put Clay on Moutier and then sometimes on Jamal Murray, depending on the situation. And it worked well. The Nuggets are, as I said, are more conducive to that than most opponents, but it is good to have that sometimes. And especially when Curry is carrying so much of the offensive load, it makes sense to divvy it up that way, at least for portions of the game, just to make things more manageable. And it does depend a lot on opposing talent. I would say opposing talent more, because you can't, that's the part of it kind of that is more circumstance dependent, but it can work for those kinds of stretches. Another significant development in this game, for some people, I don't particularly care that much about it because it feels kind of arbitrary. Kevin Durant's 72 game streak of 20 plus point scoring games is snapped. He ended up with 18 points and was on his way to his 20th before getting an offensive foul and Kerr pulled him. But I mean, he was about 6 minutes left in regulation in a game the Warriors were leading going away. So it wasn't that shocking to see him come out of the game. And when I say that it's not a streak that I care about as much, it is not because it is unimpressive at all. It's just because it's kind of a strange endpoint, you know, 20 points versus 18 or anything like that. But 20 points is a lot. And doing it 72 straight times, the fourth most all time, tied with Michael Jordan, behind two Wilt stretches, and then I think the third was Oscar Robertson. That's really good company. Don't even really need to say that twice. And Durant should be proud of that. I mean, it shows a value that you have, and to combine that with a player who is as efficient as Durant is means that you're not playing that in a way that hurts your team. You know, there aren't many nights during that 72 game stretch where Durant had to take a whole bunch of shots to get there. Usually it was something he did in the course of the offense, and that is a testament to his abilities as a scorer. They talked on the CSN Bay Area broadcast, they had a cool stat about what the current career long streak of that is for Curry and Klay, and I think it's like 14 games for Steph and 8 for Klay, and that gives you an idea of the significance of this, even if the endpoints are to a degree arbitrary. And it ended, you know, Durant played a solid enough game. I actually thought he did a nice job out there. It's just that the shots weren't always the right play. And one that stuck out to me, and if it might have, you could say, made a difference in terms of the quest for 20, is Durant had an open above the break three, no real defender there, and he saw out of the corner of his eye that Steph was open from the corner, and he made that pass. And I cannot begrudge Durant for making that decision, but it is important that he feels comfortable taking that shot. And, you know, you don't need everyone to be your friends. Durant taking an above the break wide open three is a good shot, straight up, no hesitation, anything like that. Curry shooting a corner three, presumably a better one, assuming their footing and everything else is equal and the opponent distance and all that kind of stuff. But Durant needs to be ready to take those shots himself. And he has overpassed. Kerr talked about it after, I believe it was the Mavericks game. And it's something that will improve with time. It's another element of this offense that can get better, because Durant is actually one of those rare players who should be more selfish than he is sometimes. And you can do that within the team concept. You want to reward guys for moving the ball and for moving themselves, but you also want to make sure that the best players take enough shots and keep the defense honest. So you have a lot of different things going at once, and Durant had a good game. I mean, I was impressed with his defense, and that ties in with the other guy that to me had a really impressive game, which is Draymond Green. Green was all over the place defensively. He was just impactful in a lot of different ways. And so the Warriors had 15 steals in the game, but they had 8 in the first quarter. And while Draymond was only credited with 3 of those, I think he was around for at least 5 of them. And, you know, that was either kind of forcing the bad decision that led to the turnover or deflections, all that sort of thing. And he can do that. And there was a sequence that really, another one that stuck out to me. There were a lot of them in this game where Draymond made a nice defensive play. I think it was, he stole a ball. It was a lazy pass. I think it was second quarter. And then he's doing his hard dribble, basically like he got a rebound, except the offense, actually at this point, it's the Nuggets defense, was in bad position because, there was a turnover. And instead of driving the lane and what would have probably been a contested finish at the rim, you know, not the worst shot in the world, he sees Steph Curry stopping at the three-point line and just nails him, makes a three-pointer. And actually, it was in the first quarter. And then that really helped set the tone for the rest of the game. And that whole stretch of from the reading the play and making the steal, driving the ball down and making the right pass in the moment is not something many players can do. And very few of them are as big as Draymond is. So it's another way that he can help bend it. You know, there are a few guys. I think Anthony Davis at his best can do that. Maybe even Karl Anthony Towns. But Draymond combines that with defense. And something that I was focusing on during that first quarter, which was, I feel like, Draymond's best stretch of this game, is that part of what makes him special on that end is that he has good enough instincts and is good enough at his jobs defensively that he can, at moments, make a read on his instinct, you know, go after a ball or do something like that without sacrificing his primary assignment. And that's what separates a good defender, or even sometimes a bad defender, from a great defender, because when you can make that read and you try to go for the steal, sometimes you're going to miss it. Sometimes you're going to, you know, maybe it just, you knock it out of bounds, you don't get a steal or anything like that. But with Draymond, broadly speaking, when he can do that, but he's not leaving his guy open, he's not doing anything like that. There were a couple plays where Gary Harris in particular, who had an all right game, chased some steals and left Curry open. And when you think about kind of best and worst case scenarios, giving Steph Curry a wide open three is one of the worst things that can happen. And yeah, a steal would be great, but you have to get it exactly right. And Draymond can thread that needle better than almost anybody in the league. Kawhi Leonard can also do that at his best. Tim Duncan, who is now retired, of course, can do that. Rudy Gobert at moments, but Gobert is not agile enough to hit it the same marks as Green. And that's also why him at center can actually really work because he can do a couple different things at once. And Iguodala, when he is at his, you know, at his physical best, can do the same thing. And Iguodala's instincts are amazing as well. So we still haven't seen, in my opinion, and we'll have to, this is something that it will just take months to figure out, but as well as they played in this game and as well as they played in moments against the Blazers and the Thunder, I think the Warriors are a long way from their peak because offensively they can kind of be more in sync. You know, it's hard to say that they're going to have better shooting nights than they've had in some of these stretches, especially when like Klay was unconscious in the first quarter last game. They made more threes against the Mavericks than the Mavericks made buckets, at least in the first quarter, maybe in the whole first half. But there are a lot of things that they can do to improve on both ends of the floor. Defensive communication is improving, but not all the way there. And that sounds like criticism, but it shouldn't be. It's really praise just because this team has so much more that they can do. And Warriors fans should be thinking about the big picture with this team. As much as the short term is fun and it's intriguing and those who want to focus on it for what it is are making a reasonable decision, I am watching so much of this year with the lens of April, May, and June because that is how the team themselves is defining success. And so if that's how they want to define it, I'm going to listen to them. And so I think there are another couple levels that they can go through on that end. And also, the JaVale McGee thing is important because of the idea, which is something that I've talked about on this show, something I've written about before, that the playoff rotations are going to be really different, and they need to see how different players work in various spots, because whether it be, you know, at the start of a quarter or something else, like as they're playing more of Draymond at center, you're going to end up with some unusual combinations, and you want to know how those guys are going to fit together. And JaVale works in that. I mean, something that I would seriously consider if they want to keep Andre's minutes down, maybe even play less of the death lineup, would be maybe you don't start JaVale, but maybe you give Iguodala an early rest and you go to more of a traditional lineup. So maybe you start death lineup, swap McGee out for Iguodala for a couple minutes, and then kind of you go through a semblance of rotation. All those sorts of things should be on the table for Kerr. I don't know how creative, how kind of inspired he's going to get on that, considering he was using traditional centers as a security blanket that turned into a wet blanket in the NBA Finals, particularly in Game 7. But that also could be a learning experience. And the way that he has approached the center rotation this year is certainly something that Warriors fans should be encouraged by. And it is showing kind of a discipline, you could say, to get this into the right place. And while it would have been fun to see Kevon Looney get those minutes in this game, JaVale McGee's stretch was more important not only for him, but for a piece of information that could be incredibly relevant a month, 2 months, 3 months down the line. And so we will probably see more of that with time. I think we'll also see David West get that role sometimes, but he's been comfortable enough. I would say the last three games, broadly speaking, have been his best three as a Warrior so far, that you don't really want to mess with that. And McGee, you know, it's a different thing. And so you could kind of keep the comfort areas all the same. Outside of those guys, the other thing I wanted to mention was that yet again, Patrick McCaw was the first two guard off the bench, as opposed to Ian Clark. And he was fine. I don't think McCaw had this, you know, monster game or really bad contest in any way, shape, or form. But he was out there and it was solid. And in the early season, the decision-making process is important, especially when you know that there are so many more inputs that we don't get to see, how those guys work in practice, how they mesh with various combinations of players. And Kerr going right back to the dynamic that had been established in that New Orleans game, which let's remember was the second game of the year, that McCaw got all of the backup two guard minutes before he sprained his ankle, and then Ian Clark only came into the game afterwards. Clark also reasonably solid game, nothing particularly terrible, but you know, not as good as McCaw in my opinion. And so that is a challenge that they're going to have to deal with, and we'll have to see whether McCaw can really kind of grow into a larger role than that in the near term. He might be somebody who you want to play more in that 10, 8, maybe 8 to 10 or up to 14 like in this game due to the fatigue and the back-to-back part of it. And there's no shame in that. If that might actually work better for the Warriors, and then you can use Clark in various capacities based on that. But it would be, you know, anytime that you can have a player who is capable of expanding beyond what they are currently doing. That is something that is creative freedom for when you rest players like the Warriors will inevitably do, or when somebody gets hurt. And so that will be something that has to get answered later on in the year. But Kerr having the faith in the rookie this early on is certainly a sign in the right direction, albeit not a definitive one. So a pretty impressive, when you really think about it, week for the Warriors after that horrendous Lakers game, coming back, winning a series of games against, you know, opponents that they probably should beat, but you still have to get through it. And the back-to-back here, not taking that schedule loss. And not only that, but winning the game going away was 125-101. But the Nuggets were only really close a few times. They got cut to 12, I believe that was in the second quarter. But they never even got really close enough to make a big dent in it. A couple of small Nuggets notes. I thought that Jokic and Nurkic both had some nice stretches, but the Warriors running more heavily in the second half did help take them off the floor. At the same time, Mike Malone, former Warriors assistant Mike Malone, should be ready to just kind of play another style and just be ready to bully ball. And there are consequences to that, on positively and negatively, to going big when the other team goes small. But except for Zaza Pachulia, and that's something Pachulia deserves some credit for, none of the other Warriors bigs could really handle Nurkic. He's just a strong dude and had a nice sense of space. They did get smoked when he was on the floor, but that happened with almost everybody out there. So it's not that big a deal that his plus minus was bad, because the Warriors starters are better than the Nuggets starters. Also, Jamal Murray struggled a little bit from the field. He, you know, it's going to be hard at this point. He's still a really young guy, still a little bit thinner, and he didn't really have a place in this. Klay Thompson's a much bigger guy. Thompson was on him a fair portion of time. But I thought Malik Beasley, who was the other two guard they took, Denver actually drafted two shooting guards in the first round, despite having Gary Harris. Beasley was just draining shots early on and looked like he could contribute in that way. And in a game that Will Barton did not participate in, they did need help from all three of those guys. And Harris struggled a little bit. It was weird because he was efficient, but he just didn't really take enough shots. And when you look at kind of how everybody else was doing, it might have been good to see him do a little bit more. And then the other thing that I had to mention, which was kind of part of the reason why it was surprising Durant didn't break 20, is that for the most part, Danilo Gallinari didn't really care that much about playing defense. He was lax on that way. He was lax on the defensive glass, only had two rebounds despite being a big guy. But it's not only just looking at rebounds. It was more just watching his effort from time to time. But Durant was also using that attention to create passes for other guys and anything else. And then the one other stat, it's one of those things that you can get now on the Hustle Stats part, which is on stats.nba.com/scores, is deflection. And the Warriors actually had 26 deflections in this game, which is an absolute ton. And then they also had 22 screen assists. So what a screen assist is where a player sets a screen for someone and it directly leads to a basket. And so that's why it's called a screen assist, because an assist has to be the pass that leads to a bucket. So it's trying to measure the same thing. And all of the starters had at least a couple. Steph Curry actually had 4 in this game. And that is a testament to the idea that they're getting more into this team concept, but there's still a lot more that they can do. So absolutely a positive night for the Warriors, really top to bottom. No real clunkers out there. I thought Pachulia played pretty well, one of his better games of the season so far. And that foul trouble allowed McGee to have by far his best game of the year. So we'll see how they deal with this. After that tough road trip back to Denver, they now have a couple days off. The next game is at Oracle on Sunday, actually an earlier start than usual. It's at 5 Pacific against the Phoenix Suns. It will be interesting to see how that has changed since when they played in Phoenix, which was a game that was arguably closer than it should have been, but the Warriors did pull it out, and now they're playing a lot better than they did then. So maybe that lends itself to a more dominant performance, but we've seen the Warriors take their foot off the gas pedal. Happened against Dallas, happened a little bit in this game, happened against the Pelicans, and so if they can break that streak, it would be a significant sign, let's say, for the way that this team is going. Hopefully you enjoyed this content. You can also read the pieces that I do for The Athletic. I generally speaking, I do a player-by-player piece So going through each guy individually and then a game analysis. And those, broadly speaking, will go up in the morning or early afternoon, the day after a game, depending on my editor's schedule, because they have a lot going on now that The Athletic has Chicago and Toronto field offices, let's call them, as well. So also, if you're interested in that content, you should check that out. Also, of course, Dunked On Basketball Podcast, still going strong. The Weed are not doing an episode tonight on these games. And Real Jam Radio, I recorded with Ben Golver, still not exactly sure when it's going to come out, but at some point soon. And at some point in the next couple days, we'll have an exciting new announcement that will actually relate to the Warriors and relate to Locked On to a degree, but it's not time for that yet, so I just get to put in that little tease. So if you want to send any feedback to me or follow me on Twitter, just because you think that would be a fun thing, you can follow me at Danny LaRue, DannyLeroux. You can also reach out to me, DannyLaRueNBA@gmail.com. I always promise to read everything, respond to what I can. I do not promise that those responses will be rapid. I apologize for that. And since people have asked at some points, the other thing that I cannot promise is, like, if you give me something to read, like a piece or something like that, that can get hard. I will make an attempt when I can, but that is something that also can take some time because I have a lot of things on my plate. Not you trying to use it as an excuse, just being realistic about it, but deeply, deeply appreciate all of the feedback that has happened so far. If you like the show, download every episode, subscribe, leave a rating, leave a review. We'll try to have more guests on. My specific timing over the last couple days made that impractical, but doing a solo episode for these games, I don't really have a problem with that. So we'll strike the right balance at each given moment, and hopefully Sunday, considering it's an earlier game and everything like that, should be able to get a guest on. And then I'm still figuring out the schedule for next week, but no matter what, it'll be fun. They start that big road trip. Sunday's game is basically the Warriors' last home game until Thanksgiving. They technically play the home game the Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, but that's a big road trip. Lots of stuff to talk about there. And that schedule is actually more conducive to Locked On Warriors because there's a larger time window to record. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Hope you guys are all along for the ride. And thank you so much for listening. Take care and make it a great day.